south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Hey, you know, it's been a while since we talked about healthcare, even though I'd say about a third of all the emails I get, and I get a lot of emails, are from people like you up in the States, expat gonna-bes and wannabes, lamenting that they have fewer and fewer options, and nearly every one of them dissing the so-called Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare crap. In fact, you know, in I think, 5 years it's been in existence now, I've only heard one person, one gringo, tell me that the Affordable Care Act actually helped him out. And get this, he's a guy up in the Chicagoland area, a house contractor and remodeler who works mostly for cash just to keep his reported taxable income to $24,000 a year or less, or else he just won't qualify for certain benefits under the Unaffordable Care Act. Now, the history on this guy is he's a reformed alcoholic, 100 pounds overweight, and needs heart surgery or stents, which he says would cost him out of his pocket if he didn't have the Affordable Care Act around $100,000 or more. So he dicks with the system, as he says, to make sure his income never pops over $24,000 a year, at least until he gets all that heart work done. Now again, he's the only gringo who's ever told me the Obamacare system is working for him. But actually, when you think about it, it's not working for him because he's got to screw around with the numbers to make it fit his lifestyle. A lifestyle, as you probably figured out by now, caused all his problems in the first place. So who gets to subsidize his expensive lifelong treatments? You, the taxpayer, of course. Did you expect it to be otherwise? Oh, what a multi-tentacled, malignant thing that Obamacare turned out to be, huh? Which is why I get so many people asking me questions about health and healthcare here in Latin America. And you know, since Trump's been in office, it's been a year now, right? People don't talk much about Obamacare anymore. They assume he's gutted the plan. At least that's what the mental media midgets are saying. In fact, the other day I heard maybe the only big news about Obamacare under Trump is that you no longer get fined or penalized if you don't sign up for Obamacare, which was always a kind of a concern for expats living abroad, because, for the last few years anyway, in order for them to skip that penalty or fine for not signing up for Obamacare, they'd had to prove they were temporary or permanent residents in a foreign country or that they'd been out of the country for more than 330 days a year. So, as mentioned, since Trump, people have been kind of mum in the email department about the Affordable Care Act, or Unaffordable Care Act, whatever you want to call it, waiting to see what's going to happen with that monster, what the fallout's going to be. Now, it's not that I don't get a lot of emails about healthcare. Yeah, I do, but they're not specifically about Obamacare like they'd been in the past. It's as if people just prefer not to think about it. Well, the driveway chickens are coming home to roost. For one, you hear from people all the time that their premiums, instead of going down as promised, are going up substantially. And that big insurance companies and insurance plans are being phased out or just dropping out altogether because it's not financially feasible. But so far, I've only heard talk and gossip about it, no facts, until now. Just got this email from a new friend of mine, Kelsey, an expat insider seminar, repeat offender. A real outstanding guy in a lot of ways, especially down here. He's got what you might call the long-distance gringo advantage. Why? Well, because you can see him coming from a long ways away. A thin guy, but very tall, 6'5" or more, meaning he's about twice as tall as your average Latin person. He's the very definition of outstanding. Anyway, in his email he says, "Johnny, here's an example for you of how unaffordable the so-called Affordable Care Act has made medical insurance in the U.S. With this email, Johnny, I'm enclosing the scans of two letters. The first letter is from Blue Cross Blue Shield, telling me metaphorically that my grandfather had died. In other words, they'll no longer be grandfathering in my somewhat affordable old healthcare plan. And the second letter contains the comparison of the new, quote, improved Affordable Healthcare Act plan they're offering me to replace my old plan that they've canceled and will no longer be grandfathering. Even though up till now, that was always what they guaranteed. Thank God for our savior Obama and his apostles Nancy and Harry and all the other government minions and slugs that were looking out for my best interest, especially that turgid turd in the toilet bowl, Nancy. We have to pass that healthcare plan to find out what the plan is, Pelosi. Well, now that we know what it's all about, Nancy, F you. And that's also what was in the plan. A great big F you to the working American public. I guess everyone receiving government aid and subsidies will make it out okay, though. But us working stiffs, well, I'm not just angry to be angry. I'm going to give you a little proof here. Anyway, so much for you can keep your current health plan if you want to, quote. And if you like your current doctor, you can keep him too, quote. Check out this new out-of-network deductible amount. You might be able to keep your doctor, but you'll have to pay four times as much to see him than the in-network doctor, who, for all we know, has his medical degree from Zimbabwe University and Goat Milking Institute. So, Johnny, check out the proof in these letters I've scanned. See you in a couple weeks. Signed, Kelsey. All right, so Kelsey sent me these scan copies, and I want to read you some choice little tidbits from Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina. And man, going through these letters, I didn't realize how bad it really is up by you. Well, as for the first letter, which has to be a shocker for people who've been grandfathered in for years and years with their Blue Cross insurance, it says, open enrollment for new plans is in effect now. To help you prepare, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina is reaching out early to share these important changes coming in 2018. So what's changing? Unfortunately, Blue Cross will no longer offer your health insurance plan. To make sure you remain covered, however, we are going to move you into a new Blue Cross plan that meets the Affordable Care Act requirements. This will be your new health plan. All right, here comes the whiny, false crocodile tear part. It says, we're making this change, and it was a tough decision. Boo-hoo. I added that. It's not in the letter. Then it says, Blue Cross of North Carolina chose to offer these grandfathered plans for as long as we possibly could to serve our loyal members like you. Unfortunately, we cannot maintain them for another year. All right, so that letter was the setup for the sucker punch. Now here comes the punch. The second letter starts by saying, here is the important information about your 2018 health care plan options. In order to continue to provide affordable, high-quality care, your current Blue Cross and Blue Shield North Carolina plan will not be offered, but you will have a new health care plan to avoid the gap in coverage. We have placed you in a new plan. This plan is offered through the Affordable Care Act. And then there's a line that says your new premium. You ready for the sucker punch? It says your current monthly premium is $791.80 a month. Man, that's your current monthly premium. Wow. So that's what he's been paying monthly. Wow. That's a shocker. I know plans here in Latin America with excellent facilities, first world doctors, clinics, the works, where you pay about that much for a whole year. All right, we'll get into that later. But then it says, starting in January 2018, your new monthly premium will be $2,408. What? Man, I had to take a couple of deep breaths before I said that. Do you realize that the average person can live like a king or queen here in Latin America on that amount of money a month? For you retired people, that's almost two average Social Security payouts a month just for health care insurance, with gigantic deductibles too, and we'll get into that now. But it is worth noting that you can get on a very high-end family plan here in Latin America for $2,400 a year, not a month. Oh, and by the way, where do those idiots, postulant, scumbag politicians get off saying it's affordable healthcare? Well, I guess it is to them because Congress and their lackeys are exempt from Obamacare. They've got their own private, free, VIP healthcare plan. Oh, but they deserve it, right? It's a reward for all that great service they provide the country. But I digress, as usual. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Reading parts of the Blue Cross kiss-off letter. So it goes on to say, it doesn't reflect any changes to your enrollment, such as adding additional members to your coverage. You'll see your exact new monthly payment amount when you get your January bill. Oh, so they're saying that's not even a firm quote. It sounds to me like they're trying to cushion the blow in case it's even more than $2,400 a month. Oh, but it gets worse. Listen to this. The old plan, it turns out, at $700-something bucks a month, had an individual deductible if you used in-house doctors and facilities of $5,000 per person, and a $10,000 a year individual deductible if you used doctor or medical facilities that weren't in-house. However, with the new 2018 premium of, what is that, over 300% increase, right? The individual deductible for in-house doctors is $6,650, and if you're using people outside the plan, a deductible of $26,600. Now, I could go on and make you even more sick about this, but I'm sure I don't have to rub it in. You all know exactly what I'm talking about. Man, when I hear that stuff, I know you're living in a different world than I am. So, bottom line, as soon as you get down here to Latin America, unless you're a really old codger in your 80s or 90s, you can get a very nice first world insurance plan for around $100 a month. Sometimes more, sometimes less, depending on what you're looking for. On top of that, get this. The highest yearly deductible I've ever seen was around $2,500. Nope, not $25,000, $2,500. And that's a maximum figure. Most of the plans I've seen have smaller deductibles than that. In fact, not so long ago, I accompanied a gringo to his First World Hospital emergency room. And with his plan, I think he was paying something like $75 a month. He spent an entire day at the emergency room, CAT scans, tomograms, blood workups, radioactive iodine and barium workups for kidney stones and such. He spent at least 12 hours in the emergency room, and his deductible, or copay, whatever you want to call it, $50. That was it. You get the idea. And during the boots on the ground portion of my Expat Insider seminar, we'll be visiting a first world hospital, and you'll be shocked. That would be the good kind of shocked. Now, because so many gringos and expats are interested in first world healthcare here in Latin America, you can see why. That's why I spend almost an entire day talking about healthcare and going to hospitals, visiting doctors and such, even going through some of the actual healthcare plans, because, you know, they are in Spanish, though I've had a few of the plans translated myself because, well, it really comes in handy, right? Now, that's not to say healthcare costs aren't going up here in Latin America, too. They are. For example, the gringo I went to the emergency room with, think he's paying like $75 a month now for his plan. By the way, at the seminar, I'll show you the printout of the bill for that day. Just a few years back, that very same healthcare plan was around $55 a month. But who's going to balk at that? Same benefits, by the way. No reductions or cuts at all. Now, of course, all the plans here in Latin America have pre-existing condition clauses. Some of them are 6 months, some of them are a year, just like insurance plans up in the States. However, some plans have exclusions, and you have to know about those, which is why we talk a lot about this at the seminar. For example, they might exclude something like psychiatric treatment, AIDS, heart operations, even cancer. And of course, the cheaper the policy, the more exclusion. However, almost all policies you pay more than $100 a month for will not have any of those exclusions at all. Though they will have the 6 months or year pre-existing conditions clauses, which, by the way, you're on your honor to tell them about. They'll never check up on them because, well, everyone speaks Spanish and no one's going to make a long-distance phone call to your doctor's office up in Des Moines, Iowa, asking for your records, which will be in English and they can't read those either. Besides, what hospital or doctor's office up in the States is going to send the records down to someplace in Central or South America? Unlikely, to be sure. To clarify things, when I say they won't be able to read those English files, I don't mean the doctor. He'll be able to read them. But the office staff, the nurses, the assistants, forget about it. However, when you're putting together your own plan B, it's a very good idea to get your dental and medical records for yourself in case you need them. So don't forget about that. It'd be very difficult for you to get them once you've moved to a Latin country. In fact, I always recommend you scan them, put them on a flash drive, then encrypt them. And don't forget your password. Lots of good free encryption programs out there, including PGP, which is the old standard and sometimes the best. That's what I use. By the way, PGP encryption stands for pretty good privacy. And that's an understatement. It's much better than that. Oh, and by the way, PGP and a lot of encryption programs have private and public keys. Well, you know what's cool about PGP? You can do what they call a self-encrypting archive. Meaning, you can encrypt with a nice, strong password, and you don't have to give anybody the keys, only the file. And somehow, you'll have to get them the password. Oh, and you probably heard me mention before, most of the basic insurance plans don't even require you to take a physical or get a blood test. Man, that's amazing. I still can't figure out why most of them don't do that. But I'm sure they will eventually. That is, as more and more people sign up for those plans and use the hell out of them. Yep, the same problems that happened up in the States are going to happen here in Latin America too. But thank God for lag time. In fact, in the health insurance business, there's a huge lag time, probably 20 or 30 years. The fact is, because private insurance has only been around for a short time, people aren't out to use and abuse the system. They don't even know how to work the system yet. But it's sure to come. All bad first world habits land here eventually. In the meantime, only people with some wherewithal, with some extra spending cash, and intelligence and awareness buy private medical insurance here in Latin America. And that, believe it or not, is under 3% of the Latin American population. The other 97%, well, they've got pathetic, demeaning, disgusting, demoralizing national healthcare. That's how we see it anyway, but they don't see it that way. It's free, you know, or nearly so. And, you know, it reminds me of the time I was looking for a national healthcare hospital in Managua, Nicaragua. Oh, no, it wasn't for an appointment or to go there myself. No. It was just selected as a central meeting place, like a McDonald's would be. Hey, you know, just because you meet at a McDonald's doesn't mean you have to eat the pre-digested chicken McNuggets. And, you know, this was before smartphones, GPS, locators, and Waze and such. I said, you know where the National Healthcare Hospital is, but I don't. He said, it's a couple of blocks past this Central Park. You faced east, close your eyes, and follow your nose. You can smell it from there. Which reminds me of the very first time I visited Mexico. Must have been 21 or 22 years old. When my buddy and I hit the last small town on the U.S. side of the border, I remember asking a guy at a Sinclair gas station, remember those with the big dinosaur as a mascot outside? I asked, which way to Tijuana? He said, head down the road about 10 or 15 miles and you'll smell it from there. I know, not a very good first impression of Latin America, is it? But man, I'll tell you, if you want the absolute worst impression of Latin America you could possibly have, well, as soon as you get there, head to a national healthcare hospital. Not recommended, but a hell of an eye-opener. So, bottom line about all this Latin American first world healthcare stuff, you'll find if you come down to Latin America, you've been given a wonderful gift. Absolute first world healthcare at 1970s and 80s prices. And you know, it's still cheap, even if you get sucked in by one of the many insurance brokers on the gringo tourist trail. You know, since you don't speak Spanish, or most gringos don't, just in the last few years, a nice little niche has popped up for insurance brokers who can speak English. They found they have a nice, flush, captive audience in all the gringos that are starting to pile into Latin America. Which is why almost every gringo and expat I know who lives on the gringo tourist trail and has first world style healthcare insurance is paying probably twice as much as he or she has to. Which, when you look at the numbers, is still a fantastic deal. But you don't and you won't have to if you come down to my Expat Insider Seminar because we go through all of this stuff and give you all the right connections. That's what we're here for. And since this show goes out on December 29th, 2017, this is kind of the last plug for my seminar. Starts in just a couple of days on the 6th of January. That means there's still time if you want to jump on board. I've got a couple of spots left. And I really only mention it now because I usually get a couple of people who come in at the very, very last minute. Sometimes 24 hours before we get underway. In fact, Captain Mango was one of those guys. So you've still got a chance to drink from the fire hose, get that plan B going in a big way. Just go to the newexpat.com website, click on the seminar link, or shoot me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Oh, and here's something that's kind of amazing. You know, people are always shopping around for flights, trying to get the best deal, of course, coming from wherever they are in the States, New York, Chicago, Tucson, to whatever Latin destination they have in mind. In this case, we'll be landing in Guatemala City. So people send me emails saying, Johnny, you know, the prices are $600, $700, $800 round trip. I say, maybe now, but they're fluctuating all the time. In fact, I always point out that my brother, who came last April from Chicago, paid $404 round trip. Had one layover, a couple hours in Houston, and ended up in Guatemala City. No problems, he said. Flight was great. The only thing was, he had to pay $25 for each stowed piece of luggage. But I guess that's usual these days, right? Yep, $404. Wow. And all he did was check the flight consolidators like Expedia and Fly.com. There's a lot of them. But still, I get emails saying, Johnny, it's $600, $700, $800 for a round trip from wherever. But like I said, The prices are shifting around all the time. So I decided to do a check yesterday. Now remember, as I'm doing this show today, we're about 2 weeks from seminar time. So once again, I checked the flights from Chicago O'Hare Field to Guatemala. And guess what? The very first four airlines that popped up had prices under $500. I'm looking at one right now, Copa Airlines, with one layover in Panama, $440. So it does look like, in some cases, it's better to wait a couple of weeks before an event before you book your flights. Or every couple of days, just keep checking. One of the reasons I do my seminars in Central America is because often the flights can be so very cheap. Not only the fact that you can get to your Latin American destination with just maybe 3, 4, 5 hours in the air at most. If you look around and keep checking, you can almost always get a round-trip flight for $400, $500, or $600. That's why a lot of retired gringos and expats pick Central America, because they can pop back and forth to the States. It's an easy jaunt, cheap too. No uncomfortable overnight stays in airport hotels, which is almost always the case when you take a flight from the States to South America, unless, of course, you want to pay the big bucks and go first class or business class. Then you can find direct flights, but it's going to cost you way over $2,000 to do that. Meanwhile, you'll find most flights coming from the States to South American destinations to be $1,000 or more, often $1,500. That's flying so-called economy class, and usually you'll be having three or more layovers and an uncomfortable night in an airport hotel. So if it's a round trip, you're automatically losing two nights out of your trip. One on the front end, one on the back. But who am I to judge? Some people might just like airport hotels. And then there's those people, young people mostly, who prefer not to spend the dough and they sleep off a 6, 8, or 12-hour layover in those oh-so-comfortable and ergonomic airport lounge seats. Hey, what's not to like about breathing jet engine fumes, sleeping in rumpled clothes, taking sponge baths in the airport, John, and often bubbling in your own spit? Yep, an excellent start to a South American adventure, don't you think? Hey, I've done it, and it ain't pretty. Meanwhile, if you travel to Central America, you almost never have to shave, brush your teeth, or wash your skivvies in the airport, John. Hey, that's not to say airport travel isn't tough. It's always uncomfortable, you know that. But unless you've got a lot of dough, it's hard to minimize that if you're going to South America. All right, moving on. Now some observations from a few little towns way out in the boonies. Just gotten back from a little trip. And here are a few of the things I noticed. Now, while up in the States, you may have stumbled on a public establishment or restaurant or two that when you went to the bathroom, there was a sign that says, for clients or patrons only. Keeps out the riffraff and the freeloaders, I guess. Now, down here in Latin America, that would be a little bit too impolite for the Latin culture. They have other ways of discouraging you from using the bathroom. Or they'll let you use it just because you're a gringo, you know, that gringo advantage thing. Or they might say there is no bathroom in this establishment. Now, there's always a bathroom in the establishment, it's just not for you. Which is why when that happens to me, I always say, well, then where do you pee? Which generally elicits that, aw, shucks kind of look, you know? Or if you're not a client, patron, or gringo with the gringo advantage, they might say the bathroom's out of order. And, you know, according to our standards, most of them are. But here's one bathroom situation I don't think you're ever going to find up in the States, at least I never did. You'll go to use the bathroom, and when you ask someone who works there, where's the bathroom? They'll dig under the counter and hand you a roll of toilet paper, or, in some cases, a metered little stack of square bits of toilet paper. You know, they're all pleated and perforated in little squares that none of us pay attention to, of course. But here in Latin America, especially when you go to a public bathroom where you have to pay 10 or 20 cents to go, they'll hand you a little pre-measured stack of little TP squares. It's a tradition we never give a second thought to or care about, but down here it means something. So anyway, in a lot of these little restaurants, tiendas, and stores off the gringo tourist trail, when you go to the bathroom, if they see you're a client, they'll hand you a roll of toilet paper or some measured squares. Meaning, of course, the bathroom is without TP until you want to use it. And if you're not a customer or a client, you're just a walk-in, they might let you use the bathroom, but from there on in, you're on your own. Which is why it's always prudent to carry a little stash. Which reminds me, just recently I visited the most beautiful lake in the world. That would be Lake Atitlan in Guatemala. You heard me mention that place a few times. And that'll be your destination if you're on one of those famous John Galt trips, too. Anyway, you might remember me saying that there are 12 or 13 little towns around that lake, most of them only accessible by boat. Little 20-seater launches, or lanchas as they call them, that leave about every half hour, hitting every one of those little piers all day long. And you longtime listeners remember me saying that almost all lakes and rivers in Central and South America, probably in the whole world, are polluted, if not dead, and that you shouldn't eat anything out of the lakes or rivers in Central or South America. Although the same is true up in the States, too. I remember all my childhood years hearing, never eat any of the fish out of Lake Michigan. But most people ate the stuff anyway, as do people here in Latin America. Anyway, magnificent Lake Atitlan, the most beautiful lake in the world. You have to see it to believe it. Three magnificent volcanoes that create the entire basin for the lake. Difficult to explain. You have to see it. Anyway, that lake's polluted too, though not dead. And thankfully, since it's such a tremendous natural resource, there are efforts all over the place to clean it up and stop it from being damaged any more than it already is. Who do you think is organizing all those efforts? Well, it's not the locals, it's gringos and expats and NGOs. The locals could give a damn. So anyway, I was at the lake just recently and I saw signs all over the place saying that there was a law passed that you can no longer use plastic bags or plastic straws. A good start, right? In fact, I saw banners everywhere stating such in little signs in banks and cashier windows everywhere. In fact, in some of the restaurants, owned by gringos and expats, of course, I noticed they used all glass bottles. No plastic straws. Very cool to see that in action. But again, it's only the gringos and expats because right down the street, they've got tiendas and little stores everywhere selling everything plastic. Which is why if you're watching this on YouTube right now, you'll see a big banner that crosses an entire street and a Coca-Cola truck right under it with a guy unloading dozens of plastic bottles of this stuff. Talk about irony, huh? Meanwhile, the gringos and expats and foreigners are doing their damnedest to keep the lake clean and pure. Or at least minimize the damage caused by, guess who, the locals. Oh, and you'll find little bins for separating your trash, but who do you think put those there? Why, the gringos and expats, of course. Yep, that's the way of the world and you can't cure stupid, huh? And why I sometimes quote expat Eddie when he says there may not be a God, but there certainly is a devil. Oh, and one final thing. A couple of times this last week, I rode in a tuk-tuk taxi. Yep, those little towns have tuk-tuks everywhere. And you know how these little Latin guys love to trick those things out with neon and rims and, well, you know, all kinds of useless adolescent motorhead stuff. I mean, look, we're talking about a vehicle with a lawnmower engine here. Anyway, I just happened to be in a tuk-tuk that was kind of modified, stretched, like I guess it would be a stretch tuk-tuk. And I said to the driver, man, this is different. It's roomy. He said, yeah, I had it worked on at a tuk-tuk chop shop, specially designed to handle, get this, big gringos. Now, doesn't that say it all?
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.